greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning's message title is Christ's Blood, Precious and Powerful. And the text that we're referring to will be 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. And I'll read this to you again. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Pig's blood is sold here in the Yamcha restaurant. There are people here who love to eat it. I used to eat pig's blood too. I stopped eating when I became a Christian and received the teaching that blood is precious in the sight of God. In Genesis chapter 9 verse 4, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 9 verse 4. Genesis chapter 9 verse 4. We read, "But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." And this was actually the instruction God gave to Noah after the global flood. Before the global flood, man was a vegetarian. But after the flood, he was allowed to eat meat with the condition that he was not to eat the flesh with the blood in it. This meant that the blood of the animal had to be drained completely from the animal before it could be eaten. The reason is that blood is precious in the sight of God, even though it is the blood of animals. Now we read further in Genesis chapter 9 verse 5. Genesis chapter 9 verse 5 says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. And at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man." Verse 6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Now if a man shed the blood of another man, his blood was required by God. Blood for blood. The teaching for capital punishment is clearly laid out in the Word of God. But men, being rebellious against the one true living God, always tries to be too smart, and so, in many countries, capital punishment has been done away with. Some years ago, I tried giving a tract to one white Aussie man, an old man. He asked me where I was from. When I told him I was from Singapore, the first thing he said was that he didn't agree with what Singapore was doing. He said Singapore should do away with capital punishment, the practice of which, he said, was barbaric. But the blood is precious in the sight of God, even the blood of man. That is why God laid down the law of exacting the payment of life if a person takes away the life of another person. This law was laid down to preserve life. So the blood of animals is precious. The blood of man is even more precious. Yes, even the blood of sinful men. Now what about the blood of the saints of God? Please turn with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, look at verse 15. Psalm 116. Verse 15 reads, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Surely the blood of God's very own is most precious to him." Think of the many martyrs whose blood was shed for the sake of the gospel. Will not God avenge the blood of his saints that was shed by their persecutors? He surely will. Now, the blood of animals is precious, the blood of sinful men more precious, and the blood of his saints even more precious. What about the blood of his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It is infinitely more precious. Yet our Lord shed His precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary. He redeemed us, bought us back, not with silver or gold, for these could never be valuable enough to redeem us, but with His precious blood. Now, when we think of Christ shedding His precious blood for us, let us also be clear that it is also God Himself who shed His precious blood for us. I refer you to Acts 20:28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, and we read this truth in this verse. As you're turning to that verse, I'll read this to you. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Paul was talking to the elders of Ephesus and giving them the instruction to look after the church in Ephesus after his departure. He says, feed the church of God, which God hath purchased with His own blood. So friends, understand this truth. God purchased us with His own blood. This morning, I want to talk about the power of this precious blood that was shed for us. First, let me talk about the redeeming power of His precious blood. The redeeming power of His precious blood. This precious blood has the power to redeem us from the curse of the law. We have been redeemed. As we read earlier in 1 Peter 1:19, we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now let us understand, we are all under the law of God, whether we like it or not. And we must do the works of the law perfectly if we want to live, if we want to have life everlasting. God's word says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. A man must do the works of the law perfectly if he wanted to find life by following them. The law then becomes a curse and condemns us if we fail in obeying it. Surely it is a curse because it is impossible for us to obey 100% every minute and every second of our lives. Can we obey the Ten Commandments perfectly? Impossible. Dare you say that you have never told a lie? Dare you say that you have never coveted something that does not belong to you? Some people say that they are not condemned because they have done no evil. By that they mean that they have never stolen, they've never committed adultery, never committed murder. But I would like to ask them, do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength? I dare say the answer must be a no. There must be times when they love someone else or something else more than they love God. Therefore, they have broken God's laws. The law, therefore, is a curse if we try to depend on our good works to be righteous and be justified in the sight of God. And referring to Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law, that is, as many as depend on their good works, are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. It is a curse because we simply can't obey the law 100%. What a burden. What a burden it must be for anyone to try to earn righteousness by his good works. For the Jews in the Old Testament, it must be a great burden to try to obey the laws. And when they broke the laws, they must bring an animal offering. And then, when they broke the laws again, they must bring another offering. Now, these offerings were for their known sins. What about the sins of ignorance they might have committed? They could have touched dead animals. They could have sat on a seat that was unclean. or they could have touched a wall that was previously touched by lepers. They must continually bring in their offerings for all those sins, known sins and sins of ignorance. What a burden it was. They were very fearful that they would be cut off from God's people if their sins were not forgiven. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 reads, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. How? He was made a curse for us. He hung on the cross of Calvary for us. He took our place by his death on the cross of Calvary. On the cross, he bore your sins and my sins. In fact, he was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ was made the offering for our sin. He shed his precious blood to redeem us unto himself. Now the question is this, have you come to the foot of the cross where you can definitely say this, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law by his precious blood. I am not depending on my good works to save myself. I thank God that Christ has made a curse for me. Can you definitely say that? The next point is this, let us consider the atoning power of his blood. The atoning power of his blood. Please turn with me to Leviticus chapter 17 and we'll read from verse 10 onwards. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now in the Old Testament, the children of Israel would bring the animal offering into the temple or tabernacle to sacrifice. And the blood of the animal was a thing that made atonement for the soul. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission or forgiveness of sins. There could be no reconciliation between sinful man and the thrice holy God. So his word says in Hebrews chapter 9, 22, it says, And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. The blood of the animal, of course, pointed to the blood of the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It was not the blood of the animals that purged the sins of God's people. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 says, For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Rather, it is the blood of Christ to which this blood of bulls and goats pointed to that, that takes away sins. This is the blood that makes atonement for us, so that we may be at one with God. This is it that reconciles us to God. No amount of good works, no amount of confessions, no amount of repentances can ever make us to be one with God. Have you been made at one with God yet? If you are not at one with God, you are his enemy, and you are his enemy because of your sin. If God is your enemy, you are all doomed for all eternity. Friends, his precious blood has the power to make atonement for your soul, so that you will be his friend. Do you see the preciousness of the blood of Christ making atonement for your sins? Do the gold and silver and the dollars that captivate the hearts of the people in the world mean more to you than the blood of Christ? The Lord says you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. You will love one and hate the other. If mammon has captivated your heart, the blood of Christ will mean nothing to you. But listen to the testimony of this very rich man. His name is J.P. Morgan, who did not allow riches to captivate his heart. Mammon was not his God. In the early 1900s, his financial clout in the U.S. was so great that he made many financial decisions that were literally earth-shaking. Now, before he died, he left a will that had 10,000 words and 37 articles. Yet there was one transaction that stood clearly out of his mind. And I'll read what he wrote. I commit my soul in the hands of my Savior, full of confidence that, having redeemed me, washed me with his most precious blood, he will present me faultless before the throne of the Heavenly Father. I entreat my children to maintain and defend at all hazard and at any cost of personal sacrifice the blessed doctrine of complete atonement of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ once offered and through that alone. This wealthy man understood that all riches in the world that he could not bring him bring him one bit of eternal blessing. Only the blood of Christ could. This was the blood that made him to be at one with God. Have you been made at one with God, yet through the blood of Christ? Next, let us look at the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. The cleansing power of the blood of Christ. It has the power to cleanse our defiled and unclean conscience. Now please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And think of a person who knows God's commandments. He thinks that he can be righteous and justified if he tries to observe the laws. But no, the harder he tries to observe the laws, the surer he realizes he breaks them. His conscience becomes more and more troubled. He knows he is not righteous. He knows he is not justified. He's weighed down heavily by the guilt of sin. What kind of acute mental pain he suffers. How he needs to have his conscience purged. And how can the conscience be purged? It can by the blood of Christ. Do you have a troubled conscience this morning? You do not have peace in your heart because you have a troubled conscience. You know you have not made peace with the one true living God. Look to Christ on the cross. See him shedding his precious blood for you. Realize that the blood was shed for you and for you personally. Then that blood was shed will purge the guilt from your conscience. It will purify and heal your conscience so that you can have peace with God and peace from him. Now, there are some people who are fearful that their sins are so great that they might never be forgiven. But they're depending on their feelings, and that is the case. They should rather trust in the blood of Christ for their sins to be cleansed away. The devil may put doubts into you and say, "What chance have you got to be saved? Think of all the iniquities and wickednesses that you have committed." Now, what should your response be? Your response should be this. Yes, it is true I have committed them, but God has assured me with these words. Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John, the epistle, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. God has assured me with these words that are recorded in this portion of Scripture. It reads, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, one time, a sister in Christ brought a new believer to me, and this new believer needed assurance that her sins had been forgiven. I turned to Holy Scriptures and gave her these two verses, and this is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. So this is the portion of Scripture that I gave her. It reads, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Verse 17, "And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." So God says this, "I will not hold their sins and iniquities against them." That is what is meant when God says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." So with tears in her eyes, this sister was gladdened when she heard those words. But how could God remember our sins no more? He could, because our sins have been washed away by His precious blood. Next, I'd like to consider the preserving power of the blood of Christ. The preserving power of the blood of Christ. Now, I refer you to that last night the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt as slaves. And God had sent 9 plagues upon the land of Egypt. Yet Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go. Now this was the last plague that he was going to send upon the land of Egypt. He was going to slay all the firstborn males in the homes of the Egyptians. But he was going to spare the firstborn males in the homes of the Israelites. And the condition was that the children of Israel must kill a lamb and then sprinkle the blood of lamb on the door frame. This was what God said to them. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, we'll read from verse 12. Exodus, the second book of the Bible in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. This was what God said to them. It says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Verse 13. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt." But true to God's word, He destroyed the firstborn males in the homes of the Egyptians, but He spared the firstborn males in the homes of the Israelites. He saw the blood of the lamb, and He passed over those homes. That blood of the Passover lamb, of course, pointed to the blood of God's own lamb. So friends, let's realize that our Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb provided by God. And we read this truth in 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7, which says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." 1 Corinthians 5:7. The blood of the Passover lamb during the time of the Exodus preserved the firstborn males in the homes of the Israelites. Likewise, the blood of the Passover lamb of God preserves us from the judgment of God. There are two truths that I'd like us to observe. The first truth is this. We must look to the blood of the Lamb of God for the preservation of our souls. For nothing but the blood of the Lamb of God can save us. Now the second truth that I think is even more important for us to understand is given in Exodus chapter 12 verse 13. Now let's read that verse again. Exodus chapter 12 verse 13 reads, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt." It is important that we look and see the blood. But It is infinitely more important that God sees the blood. He saw the blood in Egypt and passed over the homes of the Israelites. Today he sees the blood shed on Calvary and he passes over us. We are preserved from the judgment of God by the blood of God's Passover lamb. Next, I'd like us to see the overcoming power of the blood of the lamb. Please turn with me to the last book of the Bible, Revelations chapter 12. Revelations chapter 12, and we'll read from verse 10. Revelation chapter 12. We'll read the two verses, verse 10 and 11. And I'll read it to you. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, they loved not their lives unto the death." Satan is called the accuser of our brethren. He accuses and brings charges against us before God. What is the answer to all his accusations? It is true we are guilty of the sins for which he brings charges against us. That's true. But our sins have been paid for by the precious blood of the Lamb. Friends, the saints in heaven tell us they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. There is victory in the blood of the Lamb. How can we overcome sin and the desire to sin? By the power of the blood of the Lamb. Are there some sinful habits that are enslaving us and we do not have any power to overcome them? The truth is we have, if we are in Christ. We can overcome them by the blood of the Lamb. Now there was a man, his name was Sinclair, who was a great criminal, who grieved his mother's heart very much. The mother was a godly woman. Sinclair went to jail. After serving his term, he went back to his mother. His mother asked him to sign a pledge that he would not go back to his old ways. Sinclair replied, "Mother, it is no use. I have signed lots and lots of pledges only to break them." His desperate mother then cut one of her own veins and said, "Sinclair, you signed a pledge in my blood. Perhaps that will help you." But that pledge signed with mother's blood was useless too. Then Sinclair was converted. One night he stood up to speak to a crowded audience. He said, "What the blood of my mother could not do, the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished. I am living proof of the power of his blood." You do not have to live defeated Christian lives. Trust in the overcoming power of the blood of the Lamb to overcome your sins. Let us finally consider the melting power of the blood of the Lamb. And please turn with me to this verse, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Zechariah. It's one of the minor prophets. It's found somewhere at the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Okay, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Now today the Jews still do not recognize Christ as their Messiah, but one day they will. Their hardened hearts will melt when they look back to Calvary and see their Messiah suffering for them on the cross. So friends, I urge you to look at Calvary. I urge you to look at the suffering Messiah. I urge you to look at his precious blood that was shed for you and for me. The blood that was not shed for himself because he was perfectly sinless. It was shed for you and for me. Is it nothing to you that he should bleed for you and for me? Do you not see the infinite love of God displayed by the blood of Christ shed for you and me? Why don't you come today to him to receive this love that was shown to you? Come. Now, a young boy was extremely naughty. He grieved his mother's heart by his naughtiness. Mother would cane him, but it was useless. Often he would just run away from the caning and would look back at the mother and taunt her. One day, mother, who loved her child dearly, in desperation, cried out to this naughty boy. She said this, "I am very sorry that I have brought up such a naughty boy. Since you do not want to bear the punishment, I will bear the punishment for you." Having said that, she started to beat herself. That naughty boy was totally stunned. He ran back to his mother and said, "Mother, please stop. Please stop beating yourself. I promise I will not be naughty again." Now Christ went to the cross to bear that punishment that should fall on us. Do you not see that great love for you and for me? Will you not come to the foot of the cross and repent from your sins? On this Good Friday morning, let us look back to Calvary. See our Savior shedding his precious blood for all of us. By the grace of God, let us all recognize and allow the power of that precious blood to work in and for us. Let us experience the redeeming power of His precious blood. It has redeemed us from the curse of the law of God. Let us experience the atoning power of His precious blood. By His blood we have been made at one with God. Let us experience the cleansing power of His precious blood. It cleanses us from all sins so that God remembers them no more. Let us experience the preserving power of His precious blood. God sees the blood of His Lamb and He passes over us. We are thus spared from His judgment. Let us experience the overcoming power of His precious blood. By His blood we have victory over sins. Let us experience the melting power of His precious blood. Come to the foot of the cross and taste His love. That precious blood shows us how sacrificial His love was. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary so that we can be reconciled to you. Indeed, without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin, and there could be no reconciliation between sinful men and you. We thank you, Father, for the power of the blood. We thank you for its redeeming power, for its atoning power, its preserving power, and its cleansing power that gives us victory over sins. As we reflect on what you have done for us this day some 2,000 years ago, help us, Lord, to meditate on the work that was displayed on the cross. The cross where your Son willingly shed his blood for us, all because of your great love for your children. May our lives reflect the gratitude of your saving grace. Lord, there may be some of us here this morning who still do not know you as Lord and Savior. We pray that your Holy Spirit will soften their hearts, cause them to see that the precious blood was personally shed for them, and that sacrifice enables them to be reconciled back to you, only if they would repent of their sins, trust and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. May this day be the day that they make the most important decision, because it will determine where they will spend eternity. O Lord, be merciful to their souls. Touch their hearts this morning, for we pray all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for His glory and for His sake. Amen. For our closing hymn, please turn with